Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
So let's jump right in. Let's start talking about things that we've read recently, because I, for one, am very excited. I just finished two books that I love so much. So the first one, I just, like 10 minutes ago, finished a reread of An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green, which our listeners know is one of my favorite books of all time. I've talked about it a bunch on the podcast. And the reason I did my little reread was because myself and our events coordinator, Elizabeth, will be interviewing Hank Green for the podcast in a couple weeks. He has the sequel, A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor, is coming out July 7th. And so on July 9th, we will be chatting with him. It'll be a short little interview, 15, 20 minutes. So we'll probably record a full podcast on either side of that. And I am very, very excited and not at all nervous. So that'll be fun. I actually listened to it because I hadn't heard the audiobook version of it, and the audiobook is awesome. And Hank actually reads the last chapter, which was fun, because the last chapter is from a different perspective. And I was like, that's Hank. I know that voice. So that was fun. And then the other one I just finished yesterday, which Kelso will be thrilled, is The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Yeah. Schwab. Yeah. That book is so good. And I've had it for a really long time, and I finally got my butt in gear to finish it because she's going to be the in conversation partner for an event we have coming up with S.A. Chakraborty. And Elizabeth really wanted to read it, and I told her she could borrow my advanced reader copy of it. But of course, that meant that I had to finish it first. And so I sat down and just crushed it. And wow, she's a great writer. I mean, I knew that, but just confirming it again, V.E. Schwab is a really good writer. That's a really good book.
Well, this is supposed to be her breakout to being a literary writer. I can't call it exactly literary. I still think it's very fantasy.
It's very fantasy, but it's, oh gosh, it is just such high quality writing.
It's fancy fantasy.
That's a good way to put it. It does hit that nice sort of sweet spot between literary and fantasy. I like it a lot.
It's a great story. The characters are awesome. I love the way it bounces back and forth in time. I love that at the beginning of each section, there's a description of a piece of art that as you read it, it becomes very like relevant. I found myself going back and rereading the descriptions of the art and being like, oh, I get it.
How quickly, you know right away what the basic plot is, right?
Pretty immediately that Addie LaRue is, we think, immortal. She also cannot be remembered by anyone. The moment that she leaves their field of vision, they forget her entire existence. It is a lonely life, and she's been around about 300 years living this way.
And she stays the same age.
Can feel pain, but any injuries are basically immediately healed. She can't leave a mark on the world, so she can't write things down. Her footprints disappear in the snow. If she throws something and it breaks, it immediately is no longer broken, things like that. Like, she is basically a ghost, but in a physical body. And so that's where we pick up with her in 2014. In New York City, and it's bouncing between then and it starts in like the year that she makes this deal with a devil
And she's in France when that happens.
In France, yes. And it bounces between there. And V.E. Schwab is actually currently in France right now. So when we have our event with her, we're having it at like 3 p.m. And so she'll, because she was like, yeah, any later than that, it's going to be real late for me. So that book was fantastic. And I loved it so much. And I'm very excited for that event. I also just read a book called A Song Below Water by Bethany C. Morrow. It's a YA book. It's like an urban fantasy. So it made me think a lot of The City We Became by N.K. Jemisin. Like modern, you know, it's happening like here in America, but there's fantastical creatures. And so in this one, it's really cool. There are the sort of fantasy creatures that exist in the world that people know exist are things like sirens and mermaids and sprites. And it focuses on two girls who are kind of sisters. They're more like very close friends, but the family of one kind of takes in the other, so they become sort of like almost adoptive sisters. The one girl is a siren, and the other girl doesn't know what she is, because her family, she doesn't really know anything about her family history. She was raised by her grandmother, and her grandmother would never talk about it. And so you have these two girls kind of like, they're, I think, like 16, and they're kind of like dealing with their identities and things like that. But the entire story is set against a backdrop of really horrific racism in America. And it is very, very timely. I mean, this book could have been written like right this second, like during these protests. So the sirens are, what is it? So all sirens, at least in recent history, have been Black women. And so because of this, they deal with not just regular racism because of the color of their skin, but also this added racism of being a siren, where people fear their voice and try to silence them. Mm-hmm. In a very literal sense. They literally, there are silencing collars that they will force sirens to wear so that they can't access their siren voice. Because their siren voice, they can compel or appeal. They can kind of call up their siren voice, and whoever's listening will do whatever it is they say, essentially. There's a little more to it than that. That's a very simplistic version of the magic, but that's basically what it is. And so, for example, there is a scene in the book where the main character, so she is a siren, but no one knows, basically. Like, she's kept it a secret. Her family knows, but that's it. And she gets pulled over by a cop, a white cop, and accidentally uses, well, she kind of does it on purpose, but she uses her siren voice to basically get home alive, essentially, because it's the very, she's pulled over for literally no reason. She's not speeding. She doesn't have a tail light out. Nothing. There's nothing. She's driving while Black, and she's pulled over, and the cop is getting very aggressive. He's being very scary. He's frightening her. And so she uses her siren voice to get him to go back to his car and drive away, essentially, so she can get home safe. But his partner was in the car, and she's not sure if his partner like saw her, like saw what happened, because if he did and suddenly now puts two and two together that she is a siren, like that's going to make her life even harder. And one of the things that's happening in this book during this time is that there's, right at the beginning, there's a woman murdered, and all signs point to this woman's boyfriend being the murderer. There's evidence. There's like, it's essentially an open and shut case. But the boyfriend, his defense is essentially, yeah, she was a siren, so I basically feared for my life at all times, and he gets off. And that, and the murder of a young black boy by police, spark these huge Black Lives Matter protests. And so you have these characters deciding like, okay, I'm going to go to these protests. And there's like a well-known celebrity who essentially comes out as a siren, and like she goes to these protests and is, but like, so you have these like moments of power, and then you have these other folks trying to silence that power. And it's all like, it is so brilliantly written. It's such a good book. It is very tense, but also just a really good fantasy as well. And there's like a little bit of mystery to it, and because you're trying to figure out what the other main character, like what's her thing? Is she a siren? Is she not? Is she a mermaid? What is she? And she's got a whole like story going on. There's a gargoyle. They have an actual gargoyle living on their house. So it's cool. Like it's really, really good. It's a fantastic book. And I listened to that on Libra FM and I couldn't stop. Like once I started it, I was like, no one talk to me. I don't want to do anything but listen to this book until it's done.
It sounds fantastic. I've got to listen.
It is incredible. It is so gripping. And just such a relevant book for right now, especially. I think it puts a lot of things into perspective. There's a lot of metaphor that is like pretty clear. It's great. So that's A Song Below Water by Bethany C. Morrow. Highly recommend that. What have you guys been up to? What have you been reading?
I have been rereading passages out of Bunny by Mona Awad, because after this episode is aired, I will have already interviewed her or have been in conversation with her through Gibson's Bookstore. She's just released the paperback version of this book, and it was one of my favorite books of the last couple years, and I'm very nervous and excited to interview her.
That is so awesome. I'm so excited for you, Kelso.
Yeah, so, as we're recording this, I think it's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, as we're recording this, it's tomorrow. So, no pressure, no pressure. I got to meet her to do a tech rehearsal, and she's very sweet and very shy, just like I am. So this will be fun.
It'll be so cute.
It'll be cute and creepy and fun. So I've been rereading passages out of Bunny, which is excellent. What I'm currently reading now are two books. One is called Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie. I wanted to read something that was similar to Dune in a world building kind of way, in a writing kind of way. I really liked Dune. I had just finished it a couple weeks ago, and I wanted something similar, kind of space opera-y, world building. And so I started picking this up because it was on a display table and it kept getting my eye every time I'd walk past it. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I grabbed it.
Those displays really work.
They really do, even for the people who work there every day. Now, the plot is you're dropped right in the middle of the story, and you kind of need to figure out what's going on. So I'll try my best to kind of compress it so it's not taking me 3 hours to talk about this book. Breck is an ancillary, which is a human body that has been enslaved to an artificial intelligence of a giant spaceship. In this case, her spaceship was called the Justice of Torin. In the Empire called the Redic, each spaceship is sentient, crewed by legions of ancillaries who are all connected in the same central mind. Because of this, Breck can be in 1,000 places at once, watching events unfold all across the surface of the planet, wherever her soldiers are stationed, or on the ship orbiting above. Wow. We follow Breck seeking revenge on her destroyed spaceship.
Whoa! So
that's the general gist of the book. There's more things to it, but it's one of those, it's like Dune, it's just this epic. This is the first book in a trilogy. I'm really enjoying this. I'm having a lot of fun. It's kind of like, I feel like when I read it, it's making my brain into silly putty. It's kind of like stretching my brain out into these different ways, but it's very pleasurable. I don't know how to explain. Oh, that sounded really weird. Cool. But I promise you it's a very good book. If you liked Dune or you like a lot of like cool, like James S.A. Corey space operas.
I was going to ask if you'd read the like Leviathan Wakes, the Expanse series. That's immediately what my brain went to.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, and the whole thing is excellent. And there's a spinoff of it too that I believe is called Provenance. Ooh. That is sort of like it's more like a cozy mystery kind of thing.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, that involves one minor character spins off from it.
Oh, that's fun.
It's great. The trilogy is very much about empire and colonization, mm-hmm, and slavery.
Wow. So it's, man.
It's all kinds of fascinating twists and turns. And there's a beautiful trick that she does that I'm not going to give away. We were just talking about this, because when you figure out what is happening, you're just like, what? Your mind, what Kelsa was saying about silly putty is, yeah, she messed the Anne Leckie messes with you. With,
oh, that is so right. Cool. I'm going to have to add that to my list.
Yeah. And the second one that I'm currently reading is a book that is not coming out until October. It's called Plain Bad Heroines by Emily M. Danforth. She is the woman who wrote The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Oh, okay.
So yep. The Plain Bad Heroines is going to be her debut adult novel. It's a big one. It's like 800 something pages.
But
it's so, oh gosh, it's very, very good. So again, for some reason, I've been really into these books where there's like a contriving plot. So bear with me. So there's two plots to this book. So in the beginning, it's 1902 in a boarding school, an all-girls boarding school in Rhode Island. Two young lesbian women named Flo and Clara start a quiet, queer-based club off of a scandalous lesbian memoir by a woman named Mary McLean. Flo and Clara's relationship is found out, and then the two face an untimely and horrible death. So you So you flash forward to present day. Three young women who are making this movie based on the hauntings of what happened in this boarding school, go to the boarding school, which they opened for the first time in over a century. And then weird stuff starts to happen to them. And they don't know if it's the ghosts of Flo and Clara and the other young women who have died in this boarding school, or if it's like the cast and crew who don't really want this movie to be made because it is based off of a lesbian romance.
Whoa.
It's very good. It's quite funny and hilarious. The author is omnipresent, so the person telling the story is not part of she's not part of the story. You kind of get hints that it's Mary McLean herself, but it's, you don't know that.
That's really cool.
It's quirky and fun. And the only reason why I honestly picked up this arc is because Sarah Waters, who is a queer author, wrote a nice blurb about him. Like, all right, sold. So, and it's like a funny horror book. Oh.
It sounds great. I'd like
to. Awesome.
And I also learned that the three young women in present day, the writer of the book, her name is Merritt. The woman who is going to be playing one of the main characters in the movie, her name is Harper Harper, and they call her a Celesbian, which is a celebrity lesbian. And I was like, this is amazing. I love this book so much.
Oh my God, that's so amazing.
I totally have to read this book.
Oh, the witty, spooky, gay, sapphic book, and it's just fun.
I love it.
That's Plain Bad Heroines. That's coming out in October of this year, and I emailed Emily Danforth about it, and I was like, I love this already. Yeah. It's so good. Thank you.
Hillary, what have you been reading?
I have three books. I kind of thought that we had talked about The Vanishing Half before, but Ryan says we haven't. It must be because I've just been telling everybody how much I love this book. the new book by Britt Bennett. It is a book about twin sisters who are born in the 1950s. They live in a town in Louisiana that's a Creole town, which is very light-skinned Black people. And everybody in the surrounding area will know if you're from the town of Mallard that you're Black. But anybody else who met these people would never know that they're Black. They have light skin, blonde hair, red hair, whatever. And these twin sisters, their father is lynched when they're very young. Mm. It's a bad life. They're struggling. And they decide to run away to New Orleans. And after a year in New Orleans, one of the sisters has an opportunity to get a job if she passes as white. Mm. And at that moment, their lives split. Wow. And one sister identifies as Black. The other one vanishes. And much of the book is about trying to track down whatever happened to the sister who's passing. And I won't give away too much except to say that the daughters of these women eventually meet in a bit of a coincidence, but the repercussions are profound. It's quite a moving book, and it's also a fascinating look at history. It is a powerful book at this moment. And because it is so relevant, I think it's been propelled right to the top of the bestseller list. And Britt Bennett really deserves it. Her first book, The Mothers, which I haven't read, got great reviews. If it's anything like this, she's a terrific writer. She's only 30 years old. I think we have many years of Britt Bennett to look forward to. So highly recommend that one. Mm-hmm. The next one I want to talk about is a book by Lauren Bukes, which is spelled B-E-U-K-E-S. On her website, she says rhymes with mucus. And this book is called Afterland. It is a fascinating book. It's for this moment as well, because it's about a pandemic that initially causes sort of a bad influenza. And then about a year later, every male person who has caught it begins to die of prostate cancer, including boys. And 99% of the men in the world, including boys, die.
Wow.
And so Afterland is the world after all of these men are gone. But not all the men die. And the boys and men who have survived have been sort of scooped up by various governments because they want to try to figure out if they can find a cure and protect them until that happens. But they're also, it's in the United States, it's pretty fascistic what is happening to these boys. And the main character is originally from South Africa, and she gets trapped in the United States in the aftermath of her husband's death, who is an American, a Black American. She's a white South African. They have a son. The son doesn't die. And so they've been taken away and put into a camp. And there's a lot, I won't tell you the rest of the plot around this, but they have to go on the run. And he has to disguise himself as a girl. And it is such a fascinating examination of the roles of women and men in society and how what we think of as gender roles don't really exist except in our brains. As soon as most of the men are gone, there's still violence. There's still bad things that happen to people. But it's very much a sort of a buddy movie. It's kind of a thriller, a lot of fun, very well written. And I also really want to recommend the Libro FM recording of it, which I listened to as I was reading it, which is narrated by Lauren Bukes. And oh, I fun. And usually when it's the author, I think it's not going to be. She is terrific narrator. She does the voices really well, and she has the great South African accent because she is South African herself.
Nice.
So highly recommend that one as well. And the last one I want to talk about is These Women by Ivy Pechoda. If you are a lover of true crime, this is a really great read. It is about serial killer that operates over many, many years in a very poor neighborhood in LA. And the police have refused to believe that it's an actual serial killer because most of the women who die are sex workers. And so the police just blow it off as, well, they live dangerous lives. It's their tough luck. And this is about the women who loved these women fighting for justice and to figure out who it was who did this. It is a terrific sort of feminist novel, extremely well written, very much about the way police forces disregard poor people and women of color and women who may have issues in their lives and how that really needs to change. Beautifully written. Loved it. So those are my three.
Okay. So we're coming up on the end of June, which is also Pride Month. Yay, Pride! So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the fantastic LGBTQIA plus books and authors that we've all read recently. I went through my Libra FM list and was looking at all of these advanced listening copies that I had downloaded and hadn't listened to yet. And I found so many awesome LGBTQIA plus books. So I listened to a bunch. The first two I listened to are written in verse. And so one of them is called The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta. And the other one is Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. Both are amazing. I mean, anything by Elizabeth Acevedo is amazing. Like, if you ever just like want just a good book written in verse, just find something by her. She's fantastic. But so The Black Flamingo is about a kid who, I think he's a college kid, and he discovers drag, and he's like figuring out his identity and who he is. And he starts to figure out, he takes, I think, a class in drag, or joins a club, and starts to learn about drag, and just kind of like figures out who he is. And he's a person of color. And so he's like, got that aspect to it. So he's just like piecing together his drag persona, and he becomes the Black Flamingo, and he is fabulous. It is such a great book. I loved it so much. It really, like, it doesn't shy away from the struggles that he faces in his family, in his day-to-day life, in his relationships. It's phenomenal. Very, very quick read. Highly recommend that. And then Clap When You Land is about, there's a plane crash, and you get two perspectives from children of people who were killed on the plane crash. And so you get these two teenage girls and their stories of kind of discovering what happened. For both of them, it's their father who was killed in the plane crash, and you know, how they're dealing with that and what their lives look like now. And there's a lot more to it than that. But it is spectacular. It is such a great book. And I blew through that one. Elizabeth Acevedo's writing is so captivating. Her writing is beautiful. And then a couple of the other books I just listen to. I listened to Felix Ever After by Kacen Calendar, which was delightful and beautiful. That is about a Black trans boy, and it is, oh, it's so good. It is so good. And again, like, he's young and he's figuring out his identity and learning about himself, and something kind of very upsetting happens to him fairly early on in the book. He is publicly outed as trans at his new school, and it's really heartbreaking. And he, so he, like, he's gonna, like, go on this, like, quest to figure out who did it. He's pretty sure he knows who did it, and so he's gonna, like, catfish the person that he's sure did it so that he can get the kid to admit it. And obviously that is, you know, things progress from there. And it is a really great book. I loved it a lot. And then the other one I read was Stay Gold by Tobley McSmith, which was very, very good. Again, another trans kid named Pony. And again, kind of like figuring out his identity in the world. Particularly his relationship with his father, who is, like, mostly supportive, but not all the way there. And so kind of grappling with that, and his friendships and relationships as well. So that one's really sweet. I really, really liked that. And then I just finished up The Extraordinaries by T.J. Klune, which comes out very soon, comes out in July. T.J. Klune wrote House in the Cerulean Sea, which I know a lot of my bookseller friends are obsessed with. I haven't read it yet, but they
are... It just came out, didn't it?
It did. It came out earlier this year. It came out like a month or two ago.
I met him at Winter Institute. He was at that one dinner I went to.
Nice. Yeah.
He was lovely.
The booksellers love him. They love that book. And The Extraordinaries was really fun. It's about superheroes. the main character is, like, obsessed with this one superhero. And then there's the villain. And he writes fan fiction about, it's definitely not himself, being saved over and over by the superhero. And the superhero falls in love with him, and it's definitely not him. it is so cute. It's just a delight of a book. It reminded me a little bit of Dreadnought, of, like, the sort of tone of Dreadnought, which it was another YA book about superheroes. That one involves a trans character, but both are just, like, lighthearted, fun, like, you just want a fun superhero story, and then it also does tackle sort of, like, bigger themes, but, like, in just a sweet way, and there's just some good action, and they're funny, and so that was The Extraordinaries by T.J. Klune, which I did find out is the start of a series. I think it's going to be a trilogy, so I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the LGBTQIA plus books that I've been reading recently that I highly, highly recommend. They're all fairly recent or about to come out. I think all of those are YA books. Gosh, they are so great, and I highly recommend them. What about you guys?
Before I go, I just want to say, I heard you say Bethany C. Morrow. I was like, why do I know that name? I just realized her first novel was one of my favorite science fiction books the year it came out. It's called Mem, M-E-M.
Yeah.
And it, you remember that book?
Yeah. Oh,
it's such a beautiful book. It's sort of parallel universe 1920s in Toronto, I think it is, or Montreal. Mm-hmm. And wealthy people can get bad memories taken out of them, but it creates another person when that happens.
Whoa.
And then those people are put into a vault and basically condemned to only live this bad memory their whole lives.
Oh my God.
Except there's one mem who is able to create her own memories. And so they agree to let her out until the person who created her wants her to go back.
Wild.
Yeah, it's a very small book. It's not long, but it is just lovely and and a little heartbreaking, but very much about what does it really mean to be a human being, and the way that wealthy people treat people. Just great, highly recommended. So now I really have to read a song.
Yeah, now you will love A Song Below
but,
Water.
But my choice for Pride Month is Good Boy, My Life in Seven Dogs, which was written by Jennifer Finney Boylan. Jenny Boylan is a trans woman who's my age, in her 60s, early 60s, who lived her life as a man until she was about 40. And remarkably managed to stay married to her wife even after she transitioned. And this book is her memoir from being a young child up until the present time. But each chapter is linked by a dog in, in Jenny's life. And it is funny and heartbreaking and one of the best books I've ever read about for an older person to try to understand what it's like to be a trans woman. You know, I would highly recommend this to anybody who is my age, who's feeling perplexed by what is all this LGBTQ stuff. You know, there, I think a lot of people have trouble sort of wrapping their heads around the lives of people who may be right in front of them, but who maybe are not out or don't want to talk about it in front of you because you might be their office mate and they're worried that you will treat them poorly if you know that they're gay or trans or this is the such a heartwarming but also mordant and straight to the point book that is remarkable in its ability to talk directly to people who may not be natural allies of the LGBTQ community, but who could be if only they knew somebody who was out. And Jenny Boylan is that person. You know, she makes herself the friend that can turn you into an ally. This book, I mean, even though I've lived, I have a transgender daughter, I feel like this book really opened me up to the difficulty of, you know, being true to yourself and coming out and expecting the world to accept you on your own terms. Highly, highly recommend it, especially if you're a dog lover.
Yeah. What about you, Kelso? What are you reading for Pride Month?
Gosh, I read so much, and trying to pick out what I want to highlight during this episode, like, it's like picking my children. I just, it's very difficult. So let us start with some pretty fun, good ones. The first one I could think of that I've read recently was called Under the Rainbow by Sila Latsky. This book is about it's a coming-of-age book. When a national nonprofit labels Big Bear, Kansas, quote, the most homophobic town in the U.S., this national nonprofit sends in a task force of queer volunteers as an experiment. They will live and work in this community for 2 years in an attempt to broaden the hearts and minds, and nobody is truly prepared for what will ensue. When I read this book, I was getting ready for some like really sad, profound, novel, tragic type of vibes to it. And it was not. It was a really sweet, heartfelt book. It, if you really liked, you know, the Queer Eye TV show on Netflix, this is the book you're gonna love. It's a really, there are some like hard bits in it, obviously, because you're trying to change the minds of these people in this town, and you think it's not going to happen, but it does. It's so good. It's going to make you cry. You're going to, it's just a perfect book to read for Pride. It's so heartfelt. This is one of my favorite ones. This is a YA book that is coming out, I want to say relatively soon. I think it's either out now or will be out in July. It's called The Fell of Dark by Caleb Rowing. It is about a kid, a teenager named August Pfeiffer, or Augie Pfeiffer. He lives in a town which is located at a nexus of mystical energy fields. Ooh. He goes to a high school called Fulton Heights, and it is the electromagnet for supernatural drama. And so when a mysterious and annoyingly hot vampire boy arrives with a cryptic warning for Augie, he suddenly finds himself at the center of it. An ancient and terrible power is returning to the earthly realm, and somehow Augie and his band of friends are the only people who can stop it. This book reads like a long-lost gay Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode.
Amazing.
Protagonist was a thirsty gay boy incubating what's basically the Antichrist. It's so funny and good. It does have some like raunchy YA kind of humor because Augie is a, you know, high school, a gay high school kid who just falls in love with every dude he sees, and mm-hmm. it's super cute. He's got a lesbian best friend, and she's a vampire hunter, and she doesn't trust the person he's falling in love with. It's so cheesy but fun at the same time. It's a great YA book, and it was just so much fun to read. A couple of other ones that I wanted to go over real quick. I am currently reading a book called The Brightlands by a friend of mine named John Fram. Hey, John, how are you? If you're listening.
Shout out to John.
So John Fram, this is his debut novel. And it is about two boys named Joel and Dylan Whitley. Joel is a gay man who has run off from his hometown of Bentley, Texas to New York City. And his brother, his younger brother, Dylan, is growing up in Texas, in Bentley, Texas. And the town of Bentley is like a huge fan of high school football. Think like Friday Night Lights, like mm-hmm. it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And Dylan is the star quarterback. Dylan goes missing, and so Joel comes back down to his conservative town and tries to help figure out what happened to his brother and where he has disappeared off to. It is a scary mystery urban legend type of book. It is super twisty and suspenseful. The main character is a gay man. John is a gay man who has written about this book. It's got a lot of Southern Gothic vibes to it. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of feel this like overarching cloud getting bigger and bigger and bigger while you're reading this book. It's a great novel. This is coming out in July, I think early July of this year. And that one is called The Brightlands by John Fram. Would highly recommend that suspense book. So another one I want to talk about is called The Boys of Alabama by Guinevere Hudson. This is more of a literary fiction type of book, very coming of age as well. This came out this year, I want to say back in May. And this is also a debut novel. It is about a German transplant named Max, who is shy and sensitive. He has now arrived in Alabama with his family in a very conservative Southern Alabama town. He is taken in by the football team under their wing, and Max tries to learn how to play football. He learns how to shoot guns, doing a lot of these macho man type of come of age things. He has this secret that he's been harboring. One of the things he can do is he believes he can bring dead things back to life. You kind of see hints of that in the beginning. He finds a dead bird on the side of the road, and he brings the dead bird back to life. He's always racked with very bad, awful, terrible migraines. He feels like he can see things into the future. And so Max doesn't like telling anybody about this because mm-hmm. he's worried that it's going to get him in trouble. Yeah. He then meets a man called Pan. Pan is a Southern goth kid who eventually starts to fall in love with Max over the course of this book. Then terrible things ensues, and it's kind of like, where do we pit Max in this weird, where he toes the line between trying to be a normal all-American boy and trying to figure out who he is as a person and what he should do with this power, and why is he so drawn to this like Southern goth kid. It's a really dark book. It's a really wonderfully written book. It's still tying into this theme that I've been seeing in adult queer books, where you have like Southern, really hot, really conservative towns and what it's like to be queer in those spaces. And it's also a very wonderful book too. And that one was called The Voice of Alabama by Guinevere Hudson. So this one, the last book I want to talk about is called The Story So Far by Jane Eklund. Jane is a novelist and writer who lives actually in the Monadnock region of New Hampshire. So Jane is a lesbian writer. This is her first novel. She lives in New Hampshire. Like, it's pretty much like right down the road type of thing. And my mom actually turned me on to this book. She's like, hey, here's a queer author from New Hampshire. I think you really like her book. So I picked it up. The story so far is a book about it's a lesbian romance story set in the 1970s between two women. One is a 22-year-old librarian, and the other woman is a 50-year-old well-known novelist of these pulpy historical romance bodice rippers.
Nice.
And it follows their relationship throughout these decades. So it goes from the 1970s to now. And it's just this, like, really witty, metaphorical, philosophical story about a love affair of two women growing up within this year, with a 28-year age difference. It's a very cute novel. It's pretty short. It's like 150 pages. That one is called The Story So Far by Jane Eklund. She's fabulous. I can't wait until she writes another book.
That's awesome. What a great list.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of these, obviously, we always put all of the books in the show notes. But also we do have a few lists on the website that we are trying to keep adding to as we think of more things to add. But we do have some lists for some queer lit that you can peruse as well. So yeah, awesome. Happy Pride. All right. So we've got some cool virtual events coming up. I think by the time this airs, I think the next event will actually be S.A. Chakraborty in conversation with V.E. Schwab. That is July 5th. We'll put links in the show notes. You can register for that so you can watch that on Zoom. That'll be a really fun event. And then just because everything is virtual right now, the easiest thing to do is just like keep an eye on our social media and go directly to the website and look at our events calendar and just see what's coming up because we are strictly virtual right now. We are going to be doing a soft opening of the store on July 7th. We're going to start letting folks in. We've been doing shop by appointment. And so July 7th will be the first day that you can come in without an appointment. We're going to limit it to 25 people at a time. Everyone has to wear masks. There's going to be hand sanitizer. We're going to enforce physical distancing and all of that jazz. We're going to be as safe as possible, but yay, people get to see the books in person again. We get to talk to customers again. It's going to be great.
I mentioned the book club, the Zoom book club?
Yeah, so we're doing Zoom book club now. And Hillary, what's the next one for July? It's Circe, right?
It's Circe by Madeline Miller on July 6th.
Awesome.
And we did one last month and it went really well. So I would encourage people to do it. It was fun. And everybody's so happy to see one another again. So.
It is. Oh man, it's really fun to see people again. So definitely everyone keep an eye on our social media for events and things like that and updates on the store. We're trying to keep everybody as updated as possible. What else? As always, our listeners can receive 3 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit from Libro FM by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout. So do take advantage of that deal. They're a really amazing company. We love them a lot. So support them, support us, and use LAYDOWN at checkout. All right. I think that's everything. So you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks.
Bye.
Bye.